it solidifies into the final product, which is this steel billet. Now, this complex is really huge. Everything inside it is gigantic. And I've been with you from the very beginning of this process, the iron concentrate, to the very end.
Thanks for that educational adventure once again. We are almost out of time, but before we go, let's take a look at some news and trends in the housing and light construction industry. Three-dimensional printing has been around since the early 1980s, but it is now gathering steam. And a group of Iranian engineers have developed a massive 3D printer that can print entire buildings. Goodness me.
This giant printer moves on rails and deploys cement. The cement is stacked up layer by layer in coils by the printer to build the structure. The method is cost-effective as it combines several processes into a single step and can print a house in 48 hours. Other advantages of this machine are that it can print a variety of customized structures. The printer is used to make small-scale homes, and only a handful of companies around the world offer this technology.
Electricity is at our fingertips all the time, but what if a building could be powered by the energy of our movement? Well, a new technology is emerging that converts kinetic energy into electricity to help supply power to buildings. Human energy itself, genius.
This technology is a type of electromagnetic flooring which harnesses kinetic energy from footsteps to produce clean electricity. The tiles feed energy to a battery for later use. Excess energy can also return to the electrical grid. The energy can be easily produced from gyms and other areas with high activity and movement, such as busy sidewalks. The technology was first developed by a European company and was recently installed in a Brazilian football stadium to power lights around the field.
And finally, there is a growing trend towards prefabrication of homes. The process is typically called modular construction, which is famous for being environmentally friendly. It's good to be green.
In this method of construction, parts of the building are created at an off-site location. Walls, roofs, and other parts of the structure are manufactured and partially assembled. These components are then transported to the building site and assembled on location. Typically, these are small structures that can be disassembled and moved to different places when desired. There are several companies in Iran that specialize in this type of construction. Their products range from small suites that can be used for camping to entire homes.
Brilliant stuff. Well, that covers our show for today. I have been Samson Sees. Sees you in the next bazaar.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
السلام عليك يا أمين الله في أرض.
Peace be upon you, all trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother.
Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam, after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time. And in today's world, overcome by evil and darkness, and oppression and slavery, and tyranny and falsehood, a quick look into this beacon of truth and justice, a look into the universal persona of Imam Ali, is greatly useful for making and changing our lives, our families, our societies, and our world into the beautiful world that Allah has planned for humanity.
تبقى عيني بدمع مشتاقيا قد لسعت حية الهوى كبدي فلا تبيب لها ولا راغي.
What non-Muslims say about Ali, the first successor of Prophet Muhammad. Washington Irving, 1783-1859, well known as the first American man of letters, in his book Lives of the Successors of Muhammad, page 165, says the following about Imam Ali, alayhi salam. He was of the noblest branch of the noble race of Quraysh. He possessed the three qualities most prized by Arabs: courage, eloquence, and munificence. His intrepid spirit had gained him from the Prophet the appellation of the Lion of God. Specimens of his eloquence remain in some verses and sayings preserved among the Arabs, and his munificence was manifested in sharing among others every Friday what remained in the treasury. Of his magnanimity, we have given repeated instances, his noble scorn of everything false and mean, and the absence in his conduct of everything like selfish intrigue.
Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio. The program is To My Brother, and we are discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. So, dear friends, of course, as you all know, the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam is truly a beautiful and wonderful persona. But not only is it a magnificent persona, it is a persona which is practically applicable and can be applied to our daily lives. And what's even more beautiful is that it is a persona which not only can be applied to the individual level, but it can also be applied to the societal and the global level. Of course, this persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam is sourced in the true, pure Muhammadan teachings, the teachings of the Messenger of Allah, the teachings of the Holy Quran, and the teachings of Islam. And it is because Imam Ali's persona is the manifestation and the embodiment of Islamic teachings, this is why we see that his persona is so transcendent and is so universal. Universal to the point where even to the present day, we find that his persona can be applied in order to fix our problems and our issues on the individual, societal, and even global level. So one of the things that we find in the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam, this living miracle of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is this idea of opposing the arrogant and opposing the extravagantly wealthy. Now, in one of the traditions, we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam says that the right of the poor has been placed in the pocket of the rich. Meaning, the rich need to give their wealth in a certain amount to the poor so that there are no longer poor people on the earth. And so in this manner, we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam, he opposes those who are extravagantly wealthy. We find that during the caliphate of Imam Ali alayhi salam, when the governmental reins were in his hands, we find that he opposed people like Talha and Zubair, he opposed people like Muawiyah, and he opposed these kind of individuals whom were just extravagantly wealthy because they kept on hoarding wealth and they kept on, usurping wealth. And so we find that Imam Ali had to oppose these people. Likewise, Imam Ali opposed the arrogant. We find, of course, that Muawiyah, who tried to establish himself with another caliphate in the area of Sham or present-day Syria and Damascus, we find that he very arrogantly and proudly and very cunningly and wickedly tried to oppose Imam Ali alayhi salam. He stood up and he fought the very famous Battle of Siffin with Imam Ali alayhi salam. And it was in this battle that Ammar Yasir, the very faithful and loyal companion of the Messenger of Allah, passed away and was martyred. And it is interesting that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had foretold and said that the army and the enemy who will kill Ammar is the one who will be in the wrong. And so we see that it was Muawiyah's army that had killed Ammar Yasir, who was on the side of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And so in all forms, we find that Amir al-Mu'mineen opposed the arrogant and he opposed those that were extravagantly wealthy. Of course, these are two factors which are huge problems in our present day world. One is these arrogant people or arrogant powers, arrogant leaders who are rebels against God and they are rebels against the revelations of God, whether they be the Christian or the Jewish or the Muslim revelations. They are against all these revelations of God. And of course, we find that the extravagantly wealthy, probably there's 1% or maybe a little bit more, 1% of the population of the world, a handful of people, let's say, have probably well over 80 to 90% of the wealth of the world. Certain famous individuals, they have billions and billions of dollars in their name. I mean, what are you going to do with all of that? And so as we began our program, Imam Ali says that the right of the poor has been placed in the pockets of the wealthy. Those billions and billions of dollars that these individuals have, these handful of people in the world, the reason we have so much poverty is because these people who have these billions don't give this money that is in reality the right of those poor. They don't give that right to the poor. If only we followed this beautiful model that Imam Ali alayhi salam and his beautiful persona has shown us, we would live in a drastically different and more beautiful and more peaceful and more utopian world than we could ever imagine. A very profound, comprehensive lesson brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Now we invite you to listen to Brother Hassanain Rajabali.
Imam Ali alayhi salam is really one of the greatest personalities that ever walked this earth besides the Holy Prophet. There is no other human being that equal him in stature other than the Holy Prophet, who is above his stature. And Imam Ali alayhi salam's position is as a protector of the messenger. And the verse in Surah Ma'idah, verse number 55, Allah clarifies who is the ulil amri minkum, which is in Surah An-Nisa, verse 59, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu atiullaha wa atiur rasul wa ulil amri minkum. O you who believe, obey Allah, obey the messenger and those who have authority over your affairs. Allah explains the third one by says, innama waliyukum Allah wa rasuluhu walladhina amanu. See, Allah clearly says, alladhina yuqimuna as-salata وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ. Who is your wali? Allah says, Allah is your wali. He is messenger and those who believe. Allah pluralizes here because the Quran has a style. When it wants to elevate one individual, the Quran also has a style by which to address one person in plural form. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us who is this important person known as Amir al-Mu'mineen, that in history, there is only one man in history that gave zakat in the state of Furku, and that is Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues in verse 56. He says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. You see, whoever takes Allah, the messenger, and those who believe. Here Allah is explaining this wali, simple, one individual in history, وَلِيكُمُ اللَّهُ. The wali, that Allah says, your wali, who is also the wali of Allah. That's why we in adhan and iqamah say, ashhadu anna aliyan waliyullah. People ask, why do you say that? It is from the Quran that Allah has taken him as his wali. That's the wali here, though the verse is talking about guardianship, not friendship. So here you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever takes Allah and his messenger, and those who believe, meaning Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, These are from the party of Allah known as Hezbollah. And they are the successful ones. Subhanallah.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special, and I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear ladies. Welcome to another episode of Muslim Lady. In here, we're talking about the topics that are most interested to Muslim ladies. Well, I am Asma, your humble host. And here with me, I have Sister Zainab to help us with some information about the book that we recently have started to talk about. In this book, we are gathering some information about the personal and also social aspects of life of Sayyida Zahra, salamullah alayha. Since we as Muslim follow Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam because they are the practical example of the perfect Muslim according to the Holy Book of Quran, so we go for Lady Fatima, salamullah alayha, in order to get more of how to be a real Muslim lady.
Yeah.
As we went through clothing, we went through table manners, we went through personal care, and so much more. For today, we are going to follow the topic which covers the beauty and adornment, which is, I guess, every woman's favorite subject.
Exactly. Beauty, especially when it comes to women, it's something that's very, very,
yes,
like, she cannot...
Tantalizing.
Exactly. So, yeah, when it comes to beauty, in our previous episodes, when it was related to the personal care, we said one of the things that they would take care of in personal care was trimming hairs.
Yeah.
Removing extra hairs from the bodies. Now, this has got something very, very connection that I said in the previous episode may come as a shock. We have in one of the narrations that the purity of a woman is related to the cleanliness of men. What does that mean, actually? If a man does not take care of his cleanliness,
yes,
in terms of personal care, in terms of his body, not removing the extra hairs, just... In the similar way, females, it says the purity of a woman is directly, I would say, if it was a physics subject, I would say it's directly proportional to the purity of a woman. Cleanliness of a man is directly proportional to the purity of a woman.
Yeah, that's very true.
What does that mean? It means that if there's a man who is not taking care of his personal care,
yeah,
who is not taking care about his, I don't know, his body looking clean and tidy,
yeah,
keeping himself perfumed. When you're not taking care of those personal care things that we mentioned before, like, you know, trimming your nails, taking care of dental hygiene, because dental hygiene is very, very important. It's very, very important. When you as partners are not taking care of these things, you do not expect loyalty from the other partner. So that's one part of the story. Another thing that is very important in beauty is the first is taking care of those personal care things, mm-hmm. which we said, like, you know,
going for body routines, I don't know, take care of your own body.
That is not, I would want to explain one thing away. That does not mean to spend a lot on your body.
No. It does not have anything to do with spending too much money. I usually say that cleanliness is something that comes intuitive.
That's half of your faith.
So every single person in this world would love to smell nice. Every single person in this world, if they're in their right mind, they would love to appear in a clean dress with a sort of appearance that is very much tidy, very much gentle. You know what I mean? So yeah. It's something that depends to every single person. So yes. When we say take care of your body, we do not say that go for special...
expensive body routines.
Yeah, exactly. It's not about that. It's just taking care of your body.
Yeah, so... we talked about perfumes. We talked about smelling good. But I think we got to go for a break.
Yeah.
Before
I explain exactly.
That.
So let's go for a short break and we'll be back. Thank you, dear listeners.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back, dear ladies. This is your favorite zone. We're talking about beauty and adornment. Well, we reached the point, which is very much interesting and lovely, and it is about perfumes, using perfumes and smelling very much nice. And Sister Zainab was telling us some more.
So we were talking about beauty, basically, and now we reached a point that in beauty, all those things come that we discussed already in personal care. That
yeah.
was the first thing that we discussed over here. The second thing is that she would use perfumes. Now, how do we know that? There's a very beautiful story behind this. Once a blind person comes to the home of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and he enters, and Lady Zahra Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is there, she very certainly covers herself and goes away from that place. Once the meeting between that a blind person and the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his family finished, Prophet is curious. He asks his daughter a question. He was blind.
Actually, he knows that, but he asks that in order
definitely,
to come to us.
Definitely.
In order to be narrated to us.
Exactly. Exactly. So he asks question to Lady Zahra Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So what was it that made you cover yourself and go away?
Why did you leave?
Yeah. He was a blind person. And she says, he was blind, but I was not blind. See?
Yeah.
The beautiful answer, the modesty in her words.
And how much she cares.
And yeah, and she said that if he cannot, in addition to her answer, she says, if he cannot see me, at least he could smell me. Which shows that she was a perfume user.
Mm-hmm.
She would use perfumes in front of her mahrams. In front of her
which
family
is
members.
Actually an important point to
which
say
is very,
that
very
even
important.
If you are using perfume, use it at your home. Do not get out with so much
stress,
of perfume on.
I again stress on the point that when you talk about perfumes, when you talk about basically, taking care of somebody is smelling it or not, do not, because there are so many perfumes out there in the market which would tell you this would last for 1 week.
Yeah.
This is very, very strong. And this is the one which will just simply keep you away from sweating.
Uh-huh.
Buy those which will keep you away from sweating outside. And when you first of all take care of those body routines, definitely you won't sweat much.
Yes, and you would use some deodorants instead
of
perfume.
Exactly. So you have to, when we say that, do not use perfumes, strong perfumes basically. I would focus on this word, just strong perfumes in front of non-mahrams. Is that, it means that, just take care of the fact that somebody does not get attracted to you.
Exactly.
This is because of this. This
because,
is not because
you know,
of something else.
We have seen it. Many times it happens that you enter a crowd of, I don't know, maybe you go into the taxi or into the bus or somewhere that is a public place. Then somebody comes in, a woman, and then she smells so beautiful. She has got a perfume on herself that makes everyone turn back and look at her.
Again, it shows us
she becomes the center of attention.
Exactly. As we said in the previous episodes, that do not wear the clothes that make you center of attraction. Mm-hmm. Now, it does not end at the clothes only.
And let's mention the reason why. Because in the Holy Book of Quran also we have it that Allah says that you do this and some people who are sick in their hearts would make some terribles for you. So you cannot guarantee everyone's
attitude towards you. You actually are inviting
you.
Trouble for yourself.
Exactly.
Because not everyone out there
is
has the
so
same
much
faith like you
educated and civilized and so much looking at you with an eye that is so much like your brother or father, so supportive and so protective. No.
Exactly. Like you quoted Holy Quran, I would also like to quote the same book, which says that it orders the Muslim ladies to cover their chests and wear modest clothes, and also tells Muslim men to lower their gaze.
Yeah.
Which means that men have to lower their gaze. But this does not mean that women can wear everything she wants to wear.
And ask
she
the
can,
man to lower their
gaze. She can put on any
gaze.
Perfume that she wants to. No, she has to help her Muslim brother to keep his modesty.
Exactly.
It's all in the hands of a Muslim woman, how she helps her brother.
Yeah.
She does not have to come out in the way that she does not help her Muslim brother. Because there are some women who say that, it's my life, it's my body, it's my choice. The men should actually educate themselves or get civilized or, you know, they should be...
Lower
their mothers,
gaze.
Their mothers should be teaching them that they have to lower their gaze and they don't have to, you know, actually do immodest kind of things in the society.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. That is true. But you as a Muslim woman have to help your brother.
Exactly.
You have to help your brothers out there in the society to keep their modesty.
Well, you know what? In social responsibilities, we both are equal. We have to go for responsibilities altogether. It doesn't mean that I have to wear whatever that comes to my mind and use perfumes and be the perfect example of a distractor and then expect other people, other men, not to look at me, not to harm me.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Muslim Lady Whalen here. We're talking about personal care, something which is very much routine, very much normal and natural, but maybe some people do not go for the delicate points that is related to it.
So perfumes was one of the part of her beauty routine. She would go for perfumes, definitely, and she would take care. She had the choice to say, I did not go out in the streets with perfume. I was in my home. This man came to my home. No. See, even if a man is blind, she's going and hiding herself, covering herself first, and then hiding herself. And when Prophet asks the reason, and she says that he was blind, but I was not blind, and maybe he could smell me. So it shows that she was the one who
was
used
so
perfume.
Sensitive to these sort of things.
Exactly. And then Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, tells her, "Oh Fatima, you are a part of me."
Yeah.
Okay. So as you rightly mentioned, definitely Prophet knew this. What he wanted to do,
he wanted us
make
to learn
this transfer
that,
to us, get this transferred to us. So that's why we have a lot to learn from these things, because we as women love to be center of attractions. We love
it. Is in our nature. It is in our nature, actually.
Unfortunately, since I come from India, we have so many Indian movies wherein there are dialogues, famous dialogues in the movies, wherein women would say, everybody in the college looked at me, but who was the guy? He did not look at me.
Yeah.
See, this is completely against the teachings what we have. Completely. There's one thing, like once a group is staying with Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, in the mosque, and Imam Ali alayhi salam is also present over there. Prophet asks a question to them. What is the best thing for a woman?
Mm-hmm.
They all discuss and do not reach a conclusion. What is the best one? Then Imam Ali al-Islam sends someone to Lady Zahra, salamu alayha, ask her this question. And the beautiful answer she sends to the Imam Ali al-Islam is that the best thing for a woman is that no non-mahram looks at her and she does not also look at any non-mahram.
Exactly.
When Prophet Muhammad hears this answer and he inquires, who is the one who gave this answer to Imam Ali? Imam Ali, he asks Imam Ali, is that answer from you? He says, no. I sent someone to ask this question to Lady Zahra. This is the answer from Lady Zahra, salamu alayhi. Again,
which
Prophet out there says
answer.
That definitely she is the one from me.
Exactly.
So I would like to expand this one in inshallah another session. This does not mean like you completely have to put your gaze down, you don't have to look at non-mahrams, or
yeah,
you will work in a society wherein you are in touch with non-mahrams, or non-mahrams cannot look at you. What does that mean? I'll explain in next session, inshallah.
Inshallah. So the gist of this session is that you can use all the adornment you like. You could go for personal care. There are too much of things you could do as a woman since it exists in your nature. But the important thing is that have a good intention and then keep it for yourself. Keep it for your home. Do not take it outside. As men and women, we both have responsibilities. And the responsibility of a woman is very much going to have some sort of important effects on the society. So, dear listeners, thank you for staying with us. Until another session, I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
In the United States, Republicans and Democrats are making their last arguments with the midterm elections about to start. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. U.S. political leaders from both sides of the aisle on Sunday, 6th of November, made their closing arguments to voters just 2 days before the hotly contested midterm elections, with several top Democrats framing the election as a referendum on American democracy. President Joe Biden accused Republicans of reveling in political violence, saying hundreds of the party's candidates for state, federal, and local office were election deniers, who say that I did not win the election, even though hundreds of attempts to challenge this in a court of law have failed, even in Republican courts of law. Joe Biden said that for them, there are only two outcomes for any election. Either they win or they were cheated. He said Republicans were willing to condone the 2021 insurrection at the U.S. Capitol, and that after a recent attack on Paul Pelosi, husband of the House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, some in the party made light of it or were making excuses. There's never been a time in my career when we've glorified violence based on a political preference, Joe Biden said. President Biden made the comment as he wrapped up a 5-state, 4-day campaign tour with a Sunday evening rally at a college in Yonkers, New York, where he championed the Democratic Governor Kathy Hochul. Kathy Hochul is locked in a tight race with Lee Zeldin, who is looking to become the state's first GOP governor since 2006. Republicans, meanwhile, swung back by saying that they would better address Americans' economic woes and repeatedly insisted their rivals were ill-equipped to help voters despite Democratic rhetoric that the Republicans were to blame for the nation's political divisiveness. Donald Trump stayed evasive on a 2024 presidential run, saying, "I will probably have to do it again, but stay tuned," teasing an event he has with Republican Senate candidate in Ohio, J.D. Vance, for Monday. Donald Trump added, "We have a big, big rally. Stay tuned for tomorrow night." Trump appeared in Miami, Florida, late on Sunday in support of Florida's Republican Senator Marco Rubio, who is seeking another term, in office on Tuesday. The former president mocked leftist politicians, promoted his Truth Social platform, and predicted a Republican-controlled Congress would target a number of culture war issues dear to Florida, including critical race theory. "The stakes are about economics," Minnesota Democratic Senator Amy Klobuchar said on CNN's State of the Union program. Klobuchar added, "Every country in the world has been through a hard time coming out of this pandemic. The question that voters have to ask, who do you trust to have people on staff who see them? Who's going to stand up for them? Social Security and Medicare." Amy Klobuchar also warned that a shift right could spell danger for America. She noted that numerous Republican candidates have sowed doubt over the 2020 presidential election and said that Donald Trump's shadow is looming over key states. Klobuchar added, "These candidates are throwing truth out of the window. They're shattering the rule of law, and they're laughing at political violence. If you're a Democrat, if you're an independent or moderate Republican, democracy is on the ballot, and it is time to vote for democracy." New Jersey Democratic Senator Cory Booker voiced similar sentiments. "There's a lot on the line, and we have to remember, after what we saw on 6th of January 2021, Republican or Democrat, we should be electing people that believe in our democracy, that believe in our traditions, and that ultimately want to unite people and not to divide them." New Jersey Democratic Senator Cory Booker was speaking on ABC's This Week program. Agence France-Presse has covered the same story. President Joe Biden pulled out the stops on Sunday to mobilize U.S. voters in defense of democracy, hoping to counter a Republican red wave in this week's midterm elections that could help set Donald Trump on a course back to the White House. "If you all show up and vote, democracy sustained, not a joke," the 79-year-old Joe Biden told a rally in upstate New York, historically Democratic territory, with just 2 days to go until next Tuesday's vote. "This is your generation's moment to defend it, to preserve it, to choose it," Biden told the audience at St. Lawrence University, turning solemn as he recalled last year's assault on the U.S. Capitol by Donald Trump's supporters, who refused to accept defeat. At the southern end of the Atlantic coast in Miami, Florida, Donald Trump held a competing rally in support of Florida Republican candidates, but his own political future was more front and center. Trump said, "I will probably have to do it again." Carrying signs saying, "Again," the crowd yelled back, "Four more years, the length of a U.S. presidential term." Opinion polls in the final stretch put Republicans ahead in the fight for the House of Representatives and also showed them gaining momentum in key Senate races, as voters seek to take out frustration over four decades' high inflation and rising illegal immigration. Tens of millions of American voters have already cast early ballots, but bringing out the vote on Tuesday will likely prove decisive. With all 435 seats in the House of Representatives up for grabs, alongside a third of the 100-member Senate and a slew of state posts, Democrats were putting a brave face on their prospects, but the latest opinion polls have put them on the defensive. "This is going to be a wake-up call to President Joe Biden," predicted Glenn Youngkin, the Republican governor of Virginia, saying his camp was offering common-sense solutions to everyday issues like inflation and crime. U.S. midterm elections are typically seen as a referendum on the president in power, whose party tends to lose seats in Congress, particularly if, as with Joe Biden, the president's approval rating is under 50%. Worryingly for Democrats, a new NBC News opinion poll found that fully 72% of voters believe the country is headed in the wrong direction, 21% who saw it as being on the right track. In swing state of Pennsylvania, Republican Senate candidate Mehmet Oz on Sunday hammered on that message to rile up a crowd at his rally. Mehmet Oz said, "How many of you are worried about America right now?" He asked the crowd in a Pittsburgh suburb, receiving a round of applause.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are and wherever you are listening to us.
The keys of life.
The world is a very, very big house. Many people living in many rooms. We must open all the doors up. We must unlock them all today. Throw all the keys away.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir la'in rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Brothers and sisters, the listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatihi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio. And you are listening to the program Mafatihul Hayat, Keys of Life. Another key of life is that we need to prevent diseases to our body. The Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, they explained to us there are many things that can cause a person to become sick, whether it is food, sleeping in the bathroom, drinking cold water in the bathroom, or not covering your head after a shower, or even walking out of the shower without pouring cold water on your feet. And they go on and on about these things, or even cutting your nails during Friday, not having a shower during Friday. And you can see all these things being highlighted by the infallibles, alayhim as-salam. When it comes to the causes of diseases, the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, they tell us there are materialistic matters that cause me to be sick. And these are the ones we want to look at today. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam talks to Amir al-Mu'mineen and he says to him the following: Ya Ali, tis'atu ashya'in turith an-nisyan. 9 things that causes a person to forget. So obviously we are talking about the health of the body and what causes dementia here, which is to forget. He says, aklu tufah al-hamd, eating sour apples. Now, we love apples, but the sour ones, they cause a person to become more forgetful. And he says, وَجِبْن, and also cheese. وَقِرَاءَةِ كِتَابَةُ الْقُبُورِ, and to go to the graveyards and read what's written on them. وَالْمَشُّ بَيْنَ إِمْرَأَتَيْنِ, and to walk between 2 women if you're a man. وَطَرْحِ الْقَمْلَةِ, and obviously when it comes to the hair lace. وَالْحَجَامَةِ فِي النَّقْرَةِ وَالْبَوْلِ فِي الْمَاءِ الرَّاكِدِ, and doing hijama at the time that it's not meant to be for it, or a person urinating in a place that has water, that is still water. Now, I just mentioned a few of the list. And these are things that if we look at them materialistically from the outside, we say, well, what is the link between me as a male, for example, walking between 2 females that causes me forgetfulness? What is the relationship between sour apples, eating cheese, and being forgetful? So obviously, because we have not received the information and the reasons to why, we can't deny it. Now, medical science, to some extent, they might be able to explain the relationship between apples and the brain and memory, but there are a lot of things that they can't explain. So when it comes to these things, we can say that we have to be more careful and return back to the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam and see what they say to us. So this is one cause when we talk about dementia. When we talk about leprosy, when a person has that disease in the faces, also the Ahl Bayt alayhim as-salam, they say there are certain things that if you do, it will cause you to be leprous, and you will have that disease on your face and on your skin. Now, I will mention some of them, but first, let us take a quick break.
Ayatollah Javadi Amoli, the author of the book Mafatih al Hayat, The Keys of Life. This book, Mafatih, ought to be in two volumes. One volume, the present volume, Mafatih al Janan, is on the level of the lofty rewards for praying, fasting, etc. But the book lacks its second volume, which ought to be on subjects like the lofty rewards for planting a tree. Imam has mentioned both of these subjects. The very Imam, who has stressed out the reward for praying, has also highlighted the reward for planting a tree. There are generous amounts of reward for protecting the environment. When growing wheat, take some in your hand and say these prayers. These are what the very Imam has mentioned. We lack this second volume in Islamic world.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Mafatih al-Hayat, Keys of Life, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. When it comes to leprosy, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam says five things will cause a person to be leprous. One, an-nuratu yawm al-jum'ah, for one to remove all the hair from his body on Friday. Wa yawm al-arbi'a, and on Wednesday. Wa at-tawaddu' wal-ightisal bil-ma' alladhi taskhanahu ash-shams, to do wudu or ghusl, shower, in the water that was left outside and became warm by the sun. وَالْأَكْلُ عَلَى الْجَنَابَ, to eat while a person on the state of janaba, which is extremely makruh in Islam. You are recommended to go wash your hands if you are on the state of janaba and have not had a shower yet, or haven't had the time to have a shower. Make sure you wash your hands before you eat. And obviously, if one eats in that state of janaba, he says, you will cause yourself or put yourself, or you'll be more likely to get that disease, which is leprosy. وَغَشَيَانُ الْمَرْأَةِ فِي أَيَّامِ حَيْضِهَا, and for a person to come in contact with his spouse while she's on her menstrual cycle. وَالْأَكْلُ عَلَى الشَّبَعِ, and to eat while you are full. So this is just five things the Prophet says that when people do them, they become leprous. So if one has leprosy, if he sits with himself and he sees what he has been doing, he'll find that he's been doing at least one or more of these things. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi also says, when you drink water, because we drink water every day, obviously, he says, مُصُّ الْمَاءَ مَصَّى وَلَا تَعْبُّهُ عَبَّى. When it comes to water, try to suck the water and not just to pour it down your throat. فَإِنَّهُ يُوجُدُ مِنْهُ الْأَكْبَادِ, for the lungs and the liver and the intestines, he says they get harmed by it. So when you suck the water, you kind of take it slowly in. When you pour it, it just falls all at once. The Prophet also says, إِيَّاكُمْ مَجْلُوسِ فِي الشَّمْسِ, I warn you, and to sit outside in the sun. فَأَنَّهَا تُبْلِي ثَوْبِ, for it makes your clothes old. وَتُنْتُنِ الرِّيحِ, and it makes you smelly. Obviously, because once a person sits in the sun, he gets sweaty and there comes a smell. وَتُظْهُرُ دَاءَ الدَّفِينَ And it brings that sickness which is buried down in the body. And medically today, they tell us there are so many harmful things in the sun. Now, I do understand that you need your vitamin D, so make sure you have sunscreen on or at least sit in the shade. So to get vitamin D, you don't have to be directly under the sunlight. And today, with global warming, the sun is not what it used to be. It's very upset with us because we have played and tampered with the settings of God's environment. Therefore, we need to take extra care of ourselves these days. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi says, to that extent, you do certain acts and then you become sick. So you need to make sure that you avoid diseases and sicknesses when it comes to yourself. And keeping yourself healthy and fit is in fact a duty upon each one of us. It's not a recommendation. That body that we have is an amana, is a trust. It is not mine, so I can't do whatever I feel like. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Driving past, walking fast, to the field of dreams. Hear the children's screams.
There was The Keys of Life by Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio.
Every corner represents a different image in my mind. A momentary emotion, space spent in time.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.